God is with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think what I love most about this passage is that in it, the disciples display a level of reckless impulsivity that I usually only find in myself. In some ways, when I read this passage, it's like looking in a mirror or meeting long-lost brothers. The other day, I got a text from an unknown number asking me if I was interested in doing a pulpit exchange with them sometime in March. My first message back was, "Heck yeah, I'm in." My second message back was, "By the way, who is this?" Now, thankfully, it was a friend from seminary, a fellow United Methodist minister named Ronnie Bell. You will all be blessed to hear him preach. But it could have been anybody, and I was in from jump. I've always been like this. In this passage, we see Jesus asking the disciples to come and follow him, and they're all going to fish for people together. And they, on the spot, effectively quit their jobs and go with him. And I would argue that there is absolutely no way they had any idea what he meant by fish for people. I pulled Facebook this week as to what some of my friends would have thought it meant were they in the disciples' shoes. My friend Trevor said it sounded like Jesus was offering that they go work as private fishermen for a specific rich client rather than needing to sell them at a market somewhere. My friend Mike said it sounded like they were going to be like high-end party planners. My friend Dorothy said she would think it meant like, "Come with me and I'll help you get a date, like plenty of fish in the sea," kind of a thing. Some of them said they would have assumed a bit darker of a meaning, as in Jesus wants to help them trap people, or worse. Other friends said it sounded like advertising work. Jesus wants people that are good at gathering big crowds together and getting them hyped up about whatever, which I guess is related, albeit tangentially, to what he actually meant. My mom said it sounds like some kind of new sport. My friend Nick said it sounds like an email scam, like phishing with a PH. Similarly, another friend would have thought Jesus was asking them to pretend to be other people online for nefarious purposes, like catfishing. My friend James said that whatever it is, it sounds kind of coercive, like the people you're fishing for don't have a say in whether they get caught or not. Luke said it sounded like headhunters or scouts, people tasked with recruiting the best talent. To me, it sounds like Jesus is asking them to be lifeguards, save people from drowning in the Galilee. The point is, we never learn what the disciples thought Jesus was saying. But I tell you what, no one would have thought, "Oh, he must want us to help him spread his message of the coming kingdom of God, characterized by love, justice, grace, forgiveness, and obedience to the will of God." I promise you, nobody got that from the phrase, "fish for people." Which begs the question, why did they agree? Why did they leave everything for a concept they could not possibly have understood? Now, it's possible they were so miserable with their fishing for fish jobs that any change would have been welcome. I don't care if he does mean we're catching people with nets and hooks instead, I'm in. It's possible that Jesus' charisma was such that it was less about what he was asking them to do and more that he was the one doing the asking. That he had a magnetism about him that they were drawn to. Now, it's possible that Jesus' reputation had preceded him and they already had some idea of what he was about, but it's equally possible that they didn't. And even if they had heard of him, given how poorly they grasped his message after following him for years, do you really think they would have gotten his intention right out of the gate? These are the same people that misinterpreted, "I will die and then on the third day I'll rise again." What do you think is the likelihood they got fish for people the first time around? But I tend to think, as a card-carrying member of the Impulsive Decisions Club, that they said yes because they were asked. Period. And that's what people like us do when people ask us to do things. We say yes. I mean, maybe one of them's the yes man and one of them is the friend that doesn't really make his own decisions but just goes along with whatever his buddy is doing. Either way, the end result is the same. They follow. And that, and I can say this from experience, is usually a character flaw. It's at the very least always a gamble. But Jesus' stance on whether or not impulsivity is a good character trait seems inconsistent from moment to moment. In one instance, we see him telling would-be followers who aren't willing to immediately agree to drop their commitments to their families and livelihoods. He tells them their inability to choose him and choose him now disqualifies them. But at another instant, we see him advising his followers to count the cost before making a big decision, which ostensibly takes some time. I think the bottom line is there are pros and cons to both. You need people that will jump out of a plane because it seems like a good idea at the time, and you need people with the patience to figure out and plan ahead and invent parachutes for the impulsive folks that are jumping out of the plane. You need both. Even though both of those groups tend to drive each other crazy. No offense to my bean counters out there. I love you. I need you. And sometimes I want to push you out of the plane myself. Safely, of course. And Lord knows I make you crazy in return. But in this moment, in this passage, Jesus' call required urgency. Maybe even it required impulsivity, maybe even recklessness. So why? What was the big rush? And a better question, what exactly was he asking them to do anyway? Could it be that we 2,000 years later are also signing on to do something that we don't really understand any better than they did? If you don't mind, I'd like to answer the second question first and the first question second. When most of us hear the phrase fishers of men or fish for people, we hear it in specifically evangelistic terms, as in Jesus is inviting these men to join him in inviting people to Jesus' movement so they can have more people and bigger numbers and a bigger crowd. And while I understand why that interpretation has caught on, I don't think that's exactly what Jesus meant. For two reasons. One, Jesus is never depicted as a numbers guy. He starts off with a little group, and they get to work. And sometimes he has the approval of massive crowds, and sometimes not one single person has his back, and it doesn't seem to make a lot of difference to him. The other reason that I don't think that that's what Jesus is talking about is because of how this particular phrase is used earlier in the Bible. Because Jesus, he knew his Torah pretty well. He was quoting it constantly, and this too is an instance of that. It's usually an overlooked one. But the phrase fish for people comes from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 16:16 says, "But now I will send for many fishermen, declares the Lord, and they will catch them. After that, I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them down on every mountain and hill and from the crevices of the rocks." And okay, that sounds ominous. But what's the context? Well, the context is God finding people who will help mete out God's judgment against Israel for turning their backs on the poor. Israel has been freed from bondage in Egypt, only to turn around and mistreat their own. And God's had about enough of that and is looking for people to help spread the message that they need to change their ways or else. And there is a definite "or else" in this passage. Elsewhere in the book of Amos, the phrase "hooking a fish" is used as a metaphor for judgment upon the rich and the powerful because of how they have treated the poor. So what Jesus is asking them, and by extension us, to do is less about gathering followers and more about anointing people for a purpose. And that purpose is to begin to set right all that has gone wrong among God's people. That purpose is to combat the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, to replace hypocrisy with integrity, greed with generosity, face-saving with honest vulnerability, concern with self with concern with the least of these, bigotry with hospitality, and cynicism with hope, and to do it in ways that may not be popular and may not attract a huge crowd or a huge following, but ways that are faithful to God and to our calling to love God and neighbor. It's not always comfortable or easy or fun work, but that's what Jesus has tasked us with doing. As for that first question, why the rush? That's an easy one. That's because every second counts. Every moment counts. Now is the time to catch the vision of a world that's built on justice and mercy and love and righteousness. Not tomorrow, not once it feels comfortable, not once your schedule clears up. The moment is always now. Greg, will you help us reflect?